Hey everybody, Allie Trost here. Welcome back into Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810. Now continuing our Get to Know Casey Woso series, I am pleased to bring in Michelle Maimone, who is a defender for Casey NWSL. Michelle, also known as Mish, I hear. How's it going?
Good. We're in Florida right now, so it's really warm. We got out of the cold. And yeah, it's been a really good time of just some team bonding and getting some good training sessions in here while the weather's nice and we get to enjoy being outside. It's been really good.
A good time, but also the lead up to all of this has been pretty crazy with moving from Utah to Kansas City, rolling right into preseason and all of that, moving into new apartments. What was that process like for you moving from the West Coast to the middle of the country?
Yeah. Well, the whole transition, I mean, everything was pretty sudden. We got a call in the off season, honestly, it was just a few months ago, basically saying that our team was sold to owners in Kansas City. So we were going to be uprooting from Salt Lake and coming out to Kansas City and basically kind of starting over as a team out in the Midwest. So it was quite a whirlwind. Just the lead up and getting to know a whole new coaching staff, getting to know, there was just so much newness that we were kind of thrown into. But it was really exciting just realizing that we were going to have a new opportunity and a new chance to kind of reinvent our team in a new place. I loved Salt Lake, loved it, the fans, everything about it was great. But I think there are some changes that needed to happen. And so coming out to Kansas City, it seems like those changes happened. And it's been really, really good so far. The apartments that we are in are incredible. They're treating us so well. We've been really taken care of. They're pushing us hard, but we also are surrounded by a lot of people that care about us, which is great. And it's really comforting as a player to know that they put you as a player first, because sometimes that's not how it is. So here in Kansas City, it's been really, just so welcoming and such a great environment that I think will foster really good team chemistry and allow us to hopefully, play well on the field together and represent Kansas City well.
I love that, the reinvent ourselves as a team. And I know sometimes having a fresh start is maybe not all that it takes, but a really positive thing at times. But I want to go back a couple of years when you were coming out of college. You played at Pepperdine and you didn't even think about really pursuing the NWSL, but kind of registered on a whim. And then boom, here you are a few years later. When you look back on what you were thinking during that time and what your mindset was about soccer and about your future career, what would you go back and tell your younger self, who at a time didn't even think that she would pursue a professional soccer career in the best league in the world?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I've been asked about that story more times than I can count, but I've never been asked what I would tell myself back then. And I think a huge reason why I didn't even enter or really think about entering was because I think I saw kind of the stereotype of what it looks like to be a player that is drafted out of college. And because the draft is so small and so many girls enter, your chances of getting drafted are really slim to none, unless you're a name or you're someone that has the stats and has the accolade. And I never had that. So I think if I was to tell myself something, when I was going through that whole process of figuring out if I was even going to give it a shot, I think I would have told myself what I think actually my college coach told me. And he had called me just days before I even entered the draft. And it was when I was still not sure if I was going to. And he told me, he was like, worst case, you enter the draft and you don't get drafted and you continue doing what you're doing. You go about your life the way that you're planning on going about it. you know, if you weren't going to be playing and doing internships and finishing up school, and, or if you put your name in and you do get drafted, well, then you get to live out a dream that you've had ever since you were a little kid. And I think that him saying that to me changed my perspective. And I think if I had had that perspective on my own, you know, taking that chance of potentially getting to live out this dream that I had had for years prior, especially prior to getting to college, how my life would change, and how, and now looking at how my life has changed and the people that I've met because of it, and just everything that has come from this experience. It's crazy to think that I almost didn't give myself the opportunity. And so I think I would have told myself what my coach told me, really to take the chance, because now I'm living out this dream that has really only brought about such goodness in my life and so many blessings. So I hope that answers that question.
Yeah, no, that I mean, I just think it's so interesting. And this is something that I think a lot of people can do, right? You know, looking back and seeing how much growth you've achieved, or reaching milestones, or achieving things that you just never thought possible. And the perspective that all of that brings is only something that can be gained with time, right? So I think it's really cool to hear you reflect on that time, and also having good people in your corner, like good coaches, good mentors, who are maybe providing that support and belief that you at the time can't always find in yourself. But 2019, you're drafted, going to Utah, you have your rookie season in 2019, and then 2020 comes around and everything changes for everyone. The NWSL, first professional league back to play with the Challenge Cup, of course, last year, no positive tests. But for you, going from your rookie season and then, you know, your sophomore season as a pro, which is usually a time where you feel like, okay, I've got all of the newness out of the way, and then it's new for everyone. It's a new experience. What was that like for you, adjusting to the pandemic and playing in the pandemic so early on in your career?
Yeah. It was such an interesting time, that all of 2020, because we show up for, you know, usually we would get to out to Utah, especially with the elevation, you kind of want to get out there a little early to acclimate. So I got out to Utah about 2 weeks before preseason started. So we're all out there getting ready to start. And first day of preseason rolls around, second day, and then that's it for the 3 more months where we're just waiting in Utah. Basically all we can do is run. We didn't really have much access to fields, or we didn't have any access to a weight room. They were bringing weights to us, to our apartments. So we were just kind of having to make do with what we were given in those 3 months of just having to keep working hard and keep pushing, even though there was so much unknown. You know, we didn't even know at the time if the Challenge Cup, we didn't even know the Challenge Cup was in the works. We didn't know if we were going to have a season at all, but we had to keep training as if we were going to be playing the next day. And then, you know, after those 3 months, we were told, you know, the Challenge Cup is going to be happening, and it's going to be happening in Utah. We were really fortunate that we got to stay in our apartments, in our own beds, in a place that was familiar to us, when all these other teams were having to come from their markets into a place that they're not used to. So we had it, I'd say, the nicest, just because we didn't have to adjust to all of that. And then with the pandemic, and yeah, with it being my second season, it, like you said, your sophomore season is kind of a time where you feel like, you know, this is my time really to prove that I can play in this league, and I should be here playing. And it really was such a strange period, because there wasn't much time for preparation. Our team was in the midst of trying to figure out playing a new formation. And so people were kind of being thrown into positions that they don't normally play. And it was just a little bit hectic. I think hectic is a word that would describe that time pretty well. And it was, I mean, it was a great experience being able to be the first league back and being in that bubble. It was hard, very hard. Not being able to see family for a long time, having to kind of stay positive in the midst of all of that. But I think as a team, we really came together in ways I don't know if we would have had the pandemic not happened. And playing wise was very interesting. But also I think, like I said, it was a huge time for our team to come together and amongst everything that was going on with our club. So we were dealing with all of that and the pandemic. And so there was a lot going on. And I think we weathered it as a team really well. And ultimately, I think it set us up to have an opportunity to come to Kansas City because, you know, Kansas City had the opportunity to start an expansion team, but they chose to take our team and keep us together instead of dispersing us amongst all the other teams. So that's kind of a long answer to that question, but I feel like there's no way to answer that in a short, concise way because 2020 was absolutely wild.
The book of 2020 will be all of the Harry Potters combined into like one lengthy novel, I guess you could call it. But what you just said there leads me into my next question, which is what the team was able to go through together in 2020, plus the added challenge of moving to a new city, joining a new coaching staff. What has the team, based on what you understand with what everyone has kind of gone through, what's the team learned through all of this?
I think at the end of the day, we realized that if we are together as a team, all of the outside noise, everything else, in a sense, all of that can be drowned out. Because if we are committed to one goal, and if we're committed to having this kind of idea of like solidarity amongst ourselves, then we're the ones that are on the field at the end of the day. We're the ones that are putting in the work to set us up for success. And so if we're together and we have that bond and that chemistry, then things will fall into place. And it's funny because if you look at our record last year, you'd see that it wasn't what we would have wanted it to be. But I think, like I said, that solidarity and being together set us up for this chance to be in Kansas City. So I think that's something that the pandemic in 2020 and everything that happened really taught our team. Togetherness is, at the end of the day, so, so important. And if one person isn't bought in, that can affect the whole team. So it has to be so cohesive and it has to be everybody in 100%. For us to, I think, achieve what we want to achieve as a team.
We're visiting with Michelle Maimone of KCNWSL. And of course, in addition to the team, the coaching staff is a big part of that. What's it been like working with Coach Williams and the rest of the technical staff so far?
It's been great. You know, with a new coach and a new coaching staff, you get used to a whole new style and a whole new way of doing things. And I think it's, you know, we look at where we came from and where we are now. And I think, like I said, it's just getting used to how things are done under a different, like, I guess, aspect of leadership. And so with the new coaches that we have in the new ownership group, I think there's a big emphasis on every day showing up and working hard. And every day we're being pushed. Sometimes it seems like you're being pushed to your limits, but I think it proves that we're so capable of achieving greatness. And I think one of the first things Hugh said was, I think you guys as a team have underachieved. And he was like, I think that that's actually a compliment, because he said, now you guys have people that really, really want you to be successful and believe in the fact that this team can be very successful. And sometimes that's what it takes. It takes a coach seeing what he has and seeing what this team brings to the table and almost seeing even into the future of this is what I feel like the team can get to. So having that mentality as a coaching staff and being able to play under coaches, I mean, Natali is incredible as well. G, Lucas, Derek, Hugh, all of them, Allie, the goalkeeper coach, all of them bring something so unique to the table. And together, I think, make a really good team. And so it's been really great so far getting adjusted to how they do things. But I think this team is, like, I believe that we are capable of a lot more. And I think every person on our team believes that. So having coaches that believe that, I think it could be what helps us be really successful.
Well, I know fans are so excited to see all of that in action on the field. And you talk a lot about the impact of all of this on the team, but I want to focus a little bit on you individually as a player, because a couple of things that I found when reading up more on you that I think fans would be really interested to know. Number one, you've come back from two ACL tears, which is not anything that is easy for anyone in any sport to do. And I know, just having played soccer, players who, you know, their careers are done after they suffer not just one, but two ACL tears. So the mental and physical, you know, dedication it takes to come back from that is very impressive. And two, your club debut in Utah was as you were coming off of a 101 degree fever where you're bedridden, but you powered through it. So what is that? I mean, when you look at over the way that you overcame some of those, you know, challenges as an athlete, what does that say about you as a player and what fans can expect from what you'll bring game in and game out?
I definitely have, over the course of my career, really come to understand how lucky I am to be able to do what I do every day. I think when the game, especially looking back at my ACL tears, when the game in a sense is taken away from you, you kind of figure, you learn so much about yourself, because something that you've done your whole life all of a sudden isn't the focal point. And it's funny though, because I think those 2 years of, because I had back-to-back tears, so I was out for pretty much my sophomore, junior, senior year of high school leading up to going to Pepperdine. And those years of not playing, I think, were actually so instrumental in me being a professional right now, because I learned so much about, you know, taking care of myself and all the things that I need to do to really maintain, like, my body, because it's not something that, you know, can go and not feel the impacts of that. So I think because I have an understanding of what it's like to not have the game, I appreciate it so much. And I really believe that I don't take a day for granted. And there are times, obviously, where you're tired and you don't want to necessarily be working super hard, but you find a way to battle through because you know, well, guess what? There could be a day where it's taken away again. And you miss those days where you did have to push through. So that's definitely something about me. And just going off of that debut that I made, I was so fortunate to have that start. And I think that was probably something that really, it was like such, I think I was going off of pure adrenaline for like a few weeks, because I was actually pretty sick for a while. And I'll never forget, at halftime of that game, I had just like rags all over me, because I had to play a certain amount of minutes because Kelly was coming back from an injury and she could only go for like 25. So I had to make it for the rest of that. And I think I like blacked out, I feel like, during that whole game, but it was amazing. I'd never played in front of that many fans before. My family was there. It was incredible. But I think no matter what, I think I can find a way to push through and continue to work hard. So I think those are things that I've definitely learned from what I've gone through, for sure.
Well, the Kelly that you're talking about is the great Kelly O'Hara, who I know a lot of fans of women's soccer know. And you've mentioned her being, you know, a big mentor for you in your career, as well as Rachel Corsi, who, of course, is with KCNWSL. What have those two meant for you and your career, both on and off the field?
Yeah. I mean, I look back on that rookie season And coming in again as someone like you mentioned, I mean, I wasn't even going to enter the draft. And I think it was almost also a little bit of a confidence issue that I had. And immediately when I got there, I felt so welcomed in by the team. And I remember, as I mentioned, Kelly and Rach in particular were two that really I felt like took me under their wing and were really helping me navigate what it's like to be a professional. And I think Kelly knew also that I was going to have to play because she was coming back from an injury. Some of our other outside backs weren't available. And I was like the next in line. So I remember at practice, she would be right there helping me with every little step. And I appreciated it so much because they didn't have to give me the time of day, you know, at the end of the day, but it's so not who they are. And Rach as well. I would go over and watch film with her, film of practice, film of the practice scrimmages that we played during preseason, because we knew we would be playing next to each other in those first few games, especially. And just having that camaraderie. And I even would go over and we would just do puzzles and talk. And I'm the type of player that I love having that bond between myself and who I'm playing with, because I think you see it, it's reflected on the field. And so just overall, I am so thankful for those times. And, you know, Kelly's not on the team anymore, but I still feel like she's somebody that I could go to. And she's said that to me multiple times. And really lucky to have Rach. She's someone that I look to for sure as a leader. And so to have her be someone that looked at me and was like, I believe in you. I think that feeling that from players that you've respected and looked up to. I told Kelly, I'm like, I would come watch you when you played at Stanford, because I'm from Northern California. And so just it was surreal to be playing with them, and then to have them mentor me and really take me under their wing was like another level of just amazingness. So I was very fortunate to have that, and I'm very thankful for that to this day.
Something I always love to ask younger players in the league, whether it's MLS or NWSL, who is the player that you have shared a field with, maybe that you've played against, that you just had one of those like, oh my God, like starstruck moments?
I never got to play in a game with Kelly, but I think when I saw, like when she walked up to practice for the first time, I was like nervous to almost like look too long, you know, where you're like, you don't want to be a fangirl at all because you're teammates now and you want to be professional. But I will never forget. I was just in awe because she is someone that I looked up to for so long. And then Becky Sauerbrunn. And it's so funny because Becky is just, she's amazing, so incredible. And I was so intimidated by just her presence because she has such a presence. And then you get to talk to her and she's just so fun. And you realize, you're like, these girls are just like me. They just love to play and they love to come out and work hard and get better. And they also are just very good at what they do and have made it to, you know, the highest possible level you can make it to. And Kristen Press. I mean,
yeah,
it's the girls that I watched play on the national team that I had watched from when I was young, because, you know, they're 10 years older than me. So I had gotten to learn a lot from them before I even met them. And then meeting them and being their teammate was awesome.
That's so cool. Yeah, I can speak from what I know I would have done in that situation. Fangirl 100%, because
it's just so like you. Hard not to.
But like you grew up watching, you know, those players, and a lot of times they're the ones who are, whether directly or indirectly, inspiring you to, you know, take that, you know, the game of soccer to the next level. So It's so cool. Women's soccer in the US and just all over is just one of my favorite things. But Mish, my last question, because I think this is something that fans would really like to know about you. Music is a huge part of your life.
I knew this was probably going to come up at some point. I had a feeling.
So how did you get into playing music, or, you know, playing guitar, and you do a little bit of singing as well? When did this all start, and how does it help you, you know, just kind of channeling maybe some energy or frustrations from work and life and just all of the other things?
Yeah. So I'm the youngest of three. I have an older sister and an older brother, and my older brother is a professional musician. So he has been out on touring since he was 21. So music has been a huge part of my life ever since I was born because my brother. But I ended up really finding a passion for it during those years that I wasn't playing because of my ACL tears. And I know I had mentioned that those years were pretty crucial in just, I feel like, my development, even as a player, but even more so as a person. And during those years, I needed some type of like stress reliever because soccer wasn't there for me anymore. So I ended up teaching myself how to play guitar. And my brother was so encouraging in that, and he helped me, but he also was like very hands off, where he was like, Michelle, you have the time now, so you need to like dedicate and you need to learn yourself. I'm going to help you if you need it, but I really want you to do this on your own. And I'm so thankful he did that, because I think I found the passion on my own. It was something that became a huge part of my life. And I always loved to sing. I'd sing in the shower all the time, but that's about as far as it went. And then once I picked up the guitar, I kind of blended the two together, and I fell in love with that, like the singing and the songwriting and just playing. Like, it all clicked for me. And I actually was really fortunate at Pepperdine. It's funny, because before this, nobody knew that I sang and played guitar. But my roommate, she ended up telling our chaplain that I sang and played guitar, and we needed someone to lead worship. And I started to lead worship for our chapels, and I would have to wear a hat because I couldn't see anyone. If I saw someone in the crowd, I have like insane stage fright, which is funny because what I do, I play in front of people for a living, but it's different, I guess, when the spotlight's just on you. I don't like that. But I'm so thankful that I got pushed out of my comfort zone, because it's opened me up to being willing to share it and realizing that it's something that can bring people joy. And so I love it. I love music. And yeah, it's become a huge, huge passion of mine.
Next up, post-game performances. I'll be interviewing you after games, and I'm just gonna be like, okay, let's get a, you know, name whatever song. I'm kidding. I would never do that to you, but.
Oh gosh, I would freeze. I would be so nervous. But whatever you need.
No, that is, well, I look forward to at some point hearing you at least play guitar, because I did not get the music gene, I guess, in my makeup. So I'm always very impressed by people who have that talent. But Michelle, it was so great getting to talk with you. Enjoy the rest of training down in Florida. And we look forward to having the team and you back here in Kansas City.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope you're enjoying it seems like the weather is not so bad.
It's more normal. It's not an Arctic, which, by the way, those were the longest consecutive days of freezing temperatures that Kansas City's ever had. So
that's what I heard.
Unprecedented things for this wild year and some change.
It would be weird if it started out normal. So I feel like we needed something like that just to keep us on our toes. So
that's fair. But the weather should be nice when you all return. So that'll be good.
Great.
All right, Michelle, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Great. Thanks for having me.